Yes, Your Honor.
Okay, thank you. This is Judge Petty. I'll be presiding today. As Deborah's mentioned, Judge Beals and Judge Decker are also on the panel. The case we are hearing is Valentin versus Commonwealth. Mr. Whitmer, on behalf of the Attorney General's Office. Gentlemen, the one thing I would ask of you before we begin is to use your handset as opposed to the speakerphone so we can interject every now and then if we have a question. So with that, Mr. Corder, do you wish to reserve any time for rebuttal?
Yes, Your Honor. I would like to reserve 5 minutes, and I just want to make sure that the panel can hear me okay.
We can hear you fine.
Okay. Then I will begin. May it please the court, myself and John Holland are representing the appellant Brandon Valentin in this matter. It's before the court on one assignment of error today. That assignment of error challenges the sufficiency of the evidence introduced at trial related to Mr. Valentin's conviction for attempted anal sodomy in violation of Virginia Code Section 18.2-67.1. It's important to note at the outset that Mr. Valentin was also charged and tried upon other indictments, one of which was attempted rape, and that was alleged to have occurred in the same act as the attempted anal sodomy. The Commonwealth conceded that at trial. Defense counsel agreed. The court found that those two charges arose out of the same act.
Mr. Corder, do you agree that there's sufficient evidence to establish that he had an intent to commit anal intercourse?
No, Your Honor, we do not.
Okay, so you're challenging both the intent and the overt act?
Yes, Your Honor.
All right, thank you.
I know that was something the Commonwealth argued in their brief, but in our brief, we specifically challenged the trial court's finding that his intent was to sodomize her during the act that resulted in the two charges.
Counsel, if I could interrupt on that point, does the granted assignment of error include both intent and overt act?
Yes, Your Honor, we believe it does. We've challenged that there was no evidence to support the conviction for attempted anal intercourse. That to prove an attempt or an attempted anal intercourse, you have to prove both the intent and an overt act or in furtherance. Our brief, we argue both. We argue and challenge the trial court's finding related to his intent, and we challenge the evidence related to the overt act as it relates to the attempted anal intercourse. There is this one act, and the evidence, I think the Commonwealth assumed certain evidence came in. But the problem was that the evidence that actually came in a trial upon the victim, KH, upon her testimony, was unclear at best as to what was occurring during this specific act that resulted in these two charges.
You seem to be arguing that because the last act prior to the commission of anal intercourse was not accomplished, that there was no act in furtherance, no overt act. Isn't it correct that the Commonwealth doesn't have to prove that the act proven doesn't have to be the last act that might have been done prior to the actual crime, but any act in furtherance of the commission of the crime?
Your Honor, I do believe that an act in furtherance would be sufficient to support that element.
When they broke in the house, if he had the intent at that time, that would constitute an act in furtherance of that intent. Would that be a fair statement?
Potentially, Your Honor, yes. But the problem is there's no evidence to support that his intent was to sodomize her at that point in time, as opposed to rape her vaginally or do something else. Significantly, the trial court found in this case that his intent clearly was not to rape her vaginally, but was to commit anal sodomy at that point. But there's no evidence to distinguish the two. That you had the two charges exist.
Well, yeah. This is Judge Beals.
Hello?
I'm sorry?
I think we lost Judge Beals. Hold on for a second. Judge Beals? Yep.
We'll call in back in.
I'm stopping the clock.
Okay.
Thank you.
We can talk about the weather some more while we wait for Judge.
What do they say in football? Please reset the clock, too.
Yeah, Judge Beals got knocked off somehow. the question I wanted to ask is...
Oh, you're back. Okay. Everybody
yeah.
back? All right.
Yes.
Go ahead, Judge Beals.
The question that I wanted to ask was, given the trial court on joint appendix made a factual finding, speaking to Mr. Valentin, he said, What I've determined is that your intention at that time, and I find beyond a reasonable doubt so far as indictment 15 is concerned, that's what we're talking about here, that you intended to commit forcible anal insertion and that you did a direct act toward this commission. So he's making two factual findings here, which was the pushing of your penis against that area of her body, the anal region of the body. Given that Mr. Vasquez, who sort of seems to be the ringleader here, has her forcing her to do oral sex, and he has her bare buttocks facing Mr. Valentin, and he's telling Mr. Valentin to F the victim from behind. Why isn't that enough of evidence to support the trial court's factual finding, which we owe a great deal of deference to on appeal?
Because I don't know that even that evidence would distinguish between the two options, so to speak, regarding vaginal.
Well, the fact finder rejected the first option, which there is evidence to support as well. And he accepted the second option, which, given the location of Mr. Valentin to the victim at the time, why isn't that something that a rational fact finder could conclude? Because this is a sufficiency question, so that would be the standard of review, wouldn't it?
Because the only evidence, her testimony related to that incident, she is specifically asked by the Commonwealth's attorney, does Mr. Valentine's penis go either into your anal or vaginal areas? And KH replies, no.
But does it have to go into or attempt to actually enter and fail to be an overt act toward an attempt?
I think you have two charges, and so there has to be something to distinguish. He's found not guilty of one, and he's found guilty of another. There has to be something to distinguish between the two, and there just simply was no evidence to distinguish one versus the other at that point in time. So additionally, KH, upon cross-examination, Mr. Vasquez's attorney asked KH upon cross-examination, he says during this, he kind of breaks it up into different periods of the night, but during this particular incident where Mr. Vasquez wants her to perform oral sodomy on him, and Mr. Valentine is behind her somewhere, Mr. Vasquez's attorney asks KH, so during that time, who is having intercourse with you? She responds that Vasquez wanted me to have oral sex with him, and Valentine is like he's trying to, and then that's the end of her answer. So specifically regarding the question, who is having intercourse with you at the time, her answer is Vasquez wants oral sex, and Valentine is trying to, and that's as far as it goes. I would submit that, if anything, supports maybe the charge for attempted rape at that point, but there's no evidence. It didn't come in her testimony, either direct or on cross, that Mr. Valentine regarding, or I would say not just he did, that he didn't do anything, but there was nothing to show that his intent was to commit anal sodomy at that point in time.
Mr. Corder, this is Judge Petty. I wanted to ask you about your brief.
Yes.
Rule 5A20 requires appellants to make a legal argument to us, not just a factual argument. And it requires that argument to be supported by case law. You cite nothing in your brief, no cases whatsoever on the issue of attempted anal intercourse. You don't give us the elements of the offense. You don't give us any cases that might suggest what acts are sufficient or aren't sufficient. How do we write an opinion without some supporting case law, and why should we do your legal work for you?
I give you the statute which has the elements of it, and the argument, as opposed to some cases where somebody would have been either convicted or acquitted of that charge, we're arguing that that neither of the two elements were met.
Aren't there cases out there that have discussed the crime of attempted rape or attempted anal intercourse, or even just the concept of an attempted crime? Aren't there cases out there that tell us what evidence is sufficient and what evidence isn't sufficient?
There are, Your Honor.
Would you expect, if we were to reverse a trial court, would you expect us to include cases in our opinion to instruct the trial court what he got wrong?
You certainly could. I don't know.
Well, who's gonna find those cases? Is that our obligation? Are we appellants in this case, or is that your obligation?
Well, I understand the court's question. I would submit that if there's no evidence to support an element of the crime, the court would not necessarily need additional cases that also do not support that element. The challenge is to the sufficiency, which is more of an evidentiary question. Did the evidence come in at trial sufficient to support the elements for this charge? I will note that in the reply brief, we talk about the Howard v. Commonwealth, citing Noblos v. Commonwealth, Fortune v. Commonwealth, that just specifically touch the elements again that are listed in the statute itself to the, as relates to the charge.
You're into your, or you're at your rebuttal. You can continue or reserve as you wish.
Thank you, Your Honor. I'll reserve the remainder of my time.
Thank you. Mr. Whitmer?
Good morning, Judge Petty, and may it please the court. Stephen Whitmer on behalf of the Commonwealth this morning. The record in this case is really abundantly clear as to the overt act in furtherance of the crime at this point. And the issue that seems to be being presented today is that the trial court selected the wrong offense when it found that Mr. Valentin committed attempted forcible sodomy instead of attempted rape.
Mr. Whitmer,
Mr. Whitmer, it
looks to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, that the Commonwealth really didn't know which of the two crimes it could prove, so it indicted for both attempted rape and attempted sodomy. Is that a fair reading of what occurred?
I believe that it is, that at a very minimum, the Commonwealth trial work, you can never be 100% sure of what in advance of what witnesses are going to say at trial. You have a good idea, but you can never be sure. And I think the Commonwealth charged in a manner that left the door open for the fact finder to consider all of the evidence and to reach a conclusion regarding what the defendant's intent was. I don't think it was ever the Commonwealth's intent that the defendant be convicted of both attempted rape and attempted sodomy from this from this particular act in the sequence of crimes that took place that evening. Have I answered your question, Judge?
Yes.
All right.
Counsel, let me follow up and ask, was the issue of challenge regarding the element of intent preserved, and if so, where? Do you know that it was, whether it was preserved?
I don't know at the moment whether it is preserved, and to be perfectly honest, I think it's unclear whether that it has been presented to this court. I have when I received the reply brief, I went back through the appellant's opening brief and through the petition for appeal, and nowhere is there an assertion that the trial court's factual finding that Valentin's intent was to commit anal sodomy was erroneous. It's simply missing from the petition for appeal and missing from the opening brief. And the Commonwealth's position is that issue has been waived. The brief is all about whether the act was sufficient. And, you know, in our view, the totality of the evidence, during the argument here today, the appellant has come close to conceding that even breaking into the house, if the intent was to sodomize, was present at the time of the breaking, could well have been a sufficient overt act in furtherance of sodomy. So, at this point, you've got a man who is standing behind a naked woman with his hand on her, and he's rubbing something, rubbing up against her, and you know, there just isn't any question that there's a sufficient overt act in this case. It's our view that the court should not reach the intent question because it has not been presented to this court. It's been defaulted. I'd be happy to answer any questions the court might have beyond that.
But what do you point to specifically to establish his intent to sodomize as opposed to his co-defendant's intent?
I think the evidence of intent, the trial court clearly drew an inference from the defendant's actions. And
specifically which actions or statements would you point us to support the trial judge's conclusion?
Well, I think it's very clear, that he's standing behind the victim. He's being urged by his co-defendant to perform sexual acts on her from behind. He tells her he's going to kill her if she turns around. And I think we've got sufficient evidence. The trial court had to make a choice here. And I think it's very clear that it made that choice based upon substantial evidence, where only slight evidence in furtherance of the crime was necessary to establish an
attempt. If there's all this substantial evidence, I would like to hear it, because I can't find an awful lot in there as to this defendant. I can see where the evidence is overwhelming as it applies to the co-defendant, but what this defendant's intent was during the sexual assault, to me, is somewhat unclear.
Your Honor, I would suggest to the court that if there is difficulty in finding the specific, if there is difficulty in that regard, that is yet another reason why the court should not address the challenge to the trial court's finding that hasn't been properly presented to this court. The trial court should have had an opportunity to look at that. This court, in the petition for appeal, should have been placed on notice that intent was the issue the defendant was raising, but it clearly hasn't been done.
Mr. Whitmer, this is Judge Beals. We have testimony that Mr. Vasquez says to appellant at this time to F the victim from behind.
We do.
What do we attribute later on to, or can we attribute anything later on to Vasquez's continued statements about his desire to engage in anal sexual, for lack of a better word, intercourse, sodomy, essentially, with the victim? I mean, he talks about it after this incident on at least three other occasions. Does that affect the analysis here at all in what he says to Valentine to do to her, or is that completely irrelevant?
No, it's not. It's not irrelevant, and the court has to look at the whole record as the trial court did, and upon the whole record, it really seems as though these two men broke into the dwelling with the intent to violate this woman in every way in which it was possible sexually to violate her. I mean, that really is the picture that has been that is painted by the testimony in this case, is that this is a joint assault with an intent to violate this woman every way it was possible. And while I agree, the evidence tends to cast Vasquez as the ringleader, there's nothing to suggest that Mr. Valentin didn't share his intent. I don't know that there's a whole lot more I can say on that. This clearly was placed in front of the trial judge, and the trial judge, in a way that clearly I think was intended to assist this court, made a very specific factual finding that what the defendant intended to do was commit anal intercourse with KH, and that finding is not plainly wrong. I think you could argue that the other way, but that argument is really for the trial court. The trial court had to make that choice.
Counsel, let me take you back to the procedural issue 5A12C. Does Commonwealth v. Herring, the Supreme Court case, affect our conclusion as to whether the assignment of error was adequate in this case?
I think there. I think there is. I don't. We have not specifically argued that the assignment of error was deficient. However, I think there is, because it is not narrowed to challenging any particular elements of the offense, the possibility that the assignment of error is not adequate. It doesn't actually lay a finger on the error by saying, the evidence was insufficient to support the trial court's finding that the defendant intended to commit anal sodomy, or, in the alternative, insufficient to establish that there was an overt act in furtherance of anal sodomy, and perhaps the defendant should have had two assignments of error to make it clear to this court what he was complaining about.
Thank you.
If there are no further questions, I'll yield back the balance of my time and to the court.
Thank you, Mr. Whitman. Mr. Corder, you've
got your rebuttal time remaining.
Thank you, Your Honor. I think the bottom line in this case is, at least from our perspective, is that there just is no evidence to point to his intent regarding attempted anal sodomy.
Counsel, where did you preserve that below in the trial court, that objection to that element of intent?
The trial counsel made motions to strike both at the close of the Commonwealth's evidence and at the close of the case, and then on closing argument made arguments regarding these charges as well.
But regarding specifically intent?
Yes, ma'am. I believe so. They argue. Let me find the page number in the appendix. But on their motions to strike, they argue that the evidence is insufficient for these. This is, I believe, around 428, 442, 443. Motion to strike at the close of all the evidence.
Where is this particular offense against this defendant addressed? Because I'm having a hard time finding that either in the Commonwealth's argument or in any motion or argument by the defense attorney.
On page 420 of the appendix, the Mr. Valentine's attorney moves to strike the evidence as the attempted anal intercourse charge, arguing that KH only testified that when she was performing oral sex on Vasquez at one point, Valentine came up behind her and was rubbing something on her, and that his statement was, it was his hand, I think he touched her butt, and that's it. And the trial court at that point says, well, we're at the motion to strike stage, I think, drawing all reasonable inferences, I'm going to overrule the motion to strike at that time. The defense attorney then makes a similar argument at the close of all the evidence. I would just argue, in addition, on page 9 of our brief, specifically in this case, is where we challenge the trial court's findings related to his intent to commit sodomy as opposed to vaginal intercourse. I will note for the court that there was DNA evidence in this case as well. There were DNA samples recovered from the victim's anal area, and for what it's worth, Mr. Valentine was eliminated as a contributor to those samples. Mr. Vasquez could not be.
Well, that's not surprising, though, is it? Because there was never any question that Mr. Valentine had actually inserted his penis in her anus, where it was that Mr. Vasquez did.
Well,
we're dealing with attempt crime, not actual sodomy.
Right, but the trial court found that he attempted to insert his penis into her anus, but that would not support that finding. The DNA evidence would not support the finding, but neither does the victim's testimony that he attempted to insert his penis.
Where did the trial court find that he actually tried to get his penis into her anus? Because the factual finding that I'm reading says that the overt act that he found was, which was the pushing of your penis against that area of her body. So that wouldn't necessarily leave DNA evidence in the anus, right?
Right. It wouldn't necessarily, but I mention it just as that the trial court found he attempted to insert, he did a direct act attempting to push his penis into that area of her body, but there was no DNA to support that. But we also argue that that finding is contrary or unsupported by the victim's own testimony. At best, it's unclear, but at this point, we were stuck with a conviction for a charge that has no evidence to support his intent related to that charge, as opposed to a separate charge from the same act for which he was found not guilty. And so for those reasons, we would ask the court to find the evidence insufficient as it relates to this one charge of attempted anal intercourse and to reverse the trial court's judgment related to that charge.
Thank you very much, Mr. Corder. This case is submitted. We will adjourn our telephone conference and move into decisional conference. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a great day.